Peter Tipene joins us kindly. The completed Part 1, Stage 2 Te Papalahi o Te Raki report, also known as the Northern Inquiry, was handed over to Ngāpuhi at Waitangi on the weekend. The historic Waitangi Tribunal report details land loss, military conflict and treaty breaches suffered by Ngāpuhi between 1840 and 1900 and has been more than 10 years in the making. Peter Tipene is proudly from Ngāti Hine and is also the chair of the Waitangi National Trust. Te tōkana, tēnā koe, Peter.
Tēnā koe, Dale.
Kia ora, anō. What stood out mostly for you about Saturday's hui?
There was a lot of sorrow on Saturday, actually, as everyone bought the photographs of those who had given evidence over many years from 2013 to 2017. So over those 27 weeks of hearings, it was a poignant moment to remember those. But of course, there was a celebration that the report from the Waitangi Tribunal was being handed over in none other than the place where Te Tiriti o Waitangi was signed. So, yeah, look, it was what I think is a watershed period where all of that evidence was heard and was now being reflected back to the many voices who gave evidence, and as we look forward to the future and what it means for us all.
Peter, this one has been so drawn out, and I'm pleased you make comment of the many wonderful karawa and kuia who have had their fingers crossed that there'll be some resolution, still not so, and have gone to the grave with hopes that finally there'll be some justice afforded the people of the North. I'm guessing in a way successive governments have hoped that treaty fatigue might set in and people will just dissipate and go away, but that doesn't appear to be the case. What would you say of the mood to get this finished by younger people, perhaps many of them the iwi of those who have fought the fight but are no longer with us?
The important thing for all of us is that it's been a journey. It's certainly not the destination. And a lot of healing has come to the fore, particularly on Saturday, where people came to Waitangi knowing that their voices had been heard and it had been reflected back to them. Because we need to remember that the Waitangi Tribunal was established largely, the architect was Matt Rata back in 1975, and it was set up to ensure that Māori people's voices were heard, because since 1840, they've just been brushed off. No ears have heard those grievances, so they have been heard. The hapū of Ngāpuhi are keen to move forward, based on the facts that have now been put in black and white in what are some very challenging recommendations for the government.
Well, the new treaty negotiations minister will be wanting to look at this. It appears at times that it's been pushed back or into the too hard basket by successive treaty settlement ministers. It's a 2,000-page report, the stage two of Te Papalahi or Te Raki. What hopes do you harbour that the incoming minister will get some traction here after years of trying to do so? The report's been furnished, and while that's welcome, we know that the tribunal only has recommendatory powers and lacks the teeth that we would hope would result in legislation to get this one across the line. Where are we at with it from your read, therefore, now with the finishing of the latest report?
The Waitangi Tribunal, as we know, does lack teeth, but those recommendations, which I say are hard-hitting, cannot be ignored by the government. And if I can just highlight several of them, one says that Crown transfer for all land owned by the Crown back to Māori. It goes on to reinforce that the hapū have not ceded sovereignty since 1840, and then it goes on to recommend that the Crown enter into discussions to determine appropriate constitutional processes. Now, we know that governments will ignore those recommendations, certainly on the face of it. But the psyche is such up here in the hapū of Ngāpuhi, and like the previous conversation you've just had, mana will always come over moni, and people are not prepared to sacrifice their mana for moni. The new treaty negotiations minister would well take advice from what I would call the most successful treaty negotiations minister in the history of this country, Chris Finlayson, because when you read his book, Yes Minister, he gives some very pointed recommendations about how he sees the hapū of Ngāpuhi moving together with the government.
Tēnā koe, that the Crown transfer all land they own in the north to Māori. Any idea what we're talking about, what sort of land mass that might be?
The land mass that the government holds, so we're talking about land that has been used for educational purposes, school sites, health services, land that's surplus to the needs of the government for hospitals, for instance. We're talking about dock lands. So when it comes to it, there are large swathes of land that are in Crown hands, even for railways, because what we know is that large amounts of land were taken, not just the corridor, but whole hillsides, so that water could be accessed for steam trains. Well, now we don't use steam trains anymore, but the government seems to be very, very resistant to even contemplate discussions about having those lands back, let alone hand them back. So, these recommendations are very pointed, and they'll go a long way towards providing a backdrop to those hapū who want to move forward and seek mandates and negotiate with the Crown.
There's more Ngāpuhi than we've ever seen as representatives in this new parliament. How hopeful are you that collectively, even bearing in mind that they might come from different political vehicles, that they push to ensure that the North is treated as well as it should be? What expectations do you have politically of those who have whakapapa to the North that are in the big house, and the pressure that they might apply to get this one over the line to the satisfaction of the northern peoples?
I'm very confident of those who are in Parliament through whatever political stripe to act together and bring resources to Tai Tokerau, which is, as you and I well know, very impoverished. And by the way, I saw you at the boxing last week, which was a great occasion. What I'm not so confident about is the kaupapa that those political parties rest their manifestos on. Take, for instance, the National Party, who has principles of less central government and more local government, call it self-reliance, even call it tino rangatiratanga. How tino rangatiratanga is viewed by the National Party and viewed by Māori people in general, I think, are slightly different things. So I'm just encouraging the government to sit down, whether it's ACT, New Zealand First, National, or all together, and talk with Māori about how we can do this together, because at the moment it seems to be getting done to us and not with us.
Bearing in mind the political rhetoric that seems at times quite almost anti-Māori kaupapa, what confidence do you have that the new Minister of Treaty Negotiations, Paul Goldsmith, will be able to get this one across the line, Peter?
I know very little about the Minister, Paul Goldsmith, but we're certainly willing to sit down and talk with him so that he's not getting advice from people who may be sitting down behind desks in Wellington. And the sooner those talks get moving before Hana Koko arrives, the better, because Waitangi Day is imminent. And at the moment, It's a powder keg.
Tēnā koe. Well, I just spoke with John about that action. He said it was important to stand our ground and to mobilise in communities across the land. That happened on the opening day of Parliament. What are you aware of regarding visits and what we might expect on February the 6th?
I'm not expecting things to be too different. As I've said, I wouldn't be surprised if some politicians didn't turn up, because that's been the case in the past. But I'm confident that all political leaders will front up, particularly those who hold the reins of power, because Waitangi is the place where the partners need to sit down, have debate and discussion, and be well considered and be respected and safe in giving their opinions as well. Nonetheless, Waitangi has always been a place where people show their protestations, and look, as long as it's safe, yes, people can make their protestations known, but we want to provide a fantastic Waitangi Day commemorations, as we have for many years.
Tēnā koe. I'm looking at a picture of you, and it was taken in 2013. So this inquiry has, and the northern issue with the treaty has been unresolved for so long. But you had plenty of hair, and it was black 10 years ago. I might kindly let you know. But I'm wondering about succession planning in the negotiation space. I know a lot of this has been left to our older pakeke, these negotiations. But obviously, the length of time it's already taken, and perhaps the length of time it may still take, would require some younger input. What's succession planning like in the North for the period that we are stepping into? Have you got some sharp minds and with agile intellect that can perhaps steer the Māori ship forth in the North in the years ahead?
Always, Dale. Every generation has a good mix of young, middle-aged, and more experienced hearts and minds. And certainly in the hapū up here, there are no shortage of those. And it was shown on Saturday at the return or the handing over of the Stage 2 report. A lot of young people who are rearing to go, and this has been manifested through even the general election that we've just held of those young ones coming through. So have no fear, those people are being well grounded and they're ready, and well, they're already part of it. They may not be seen so much, but they're there.
Thanks, Peter. All the best to you, Peter. If we don't talk before Christmas, we've got so much to talk about off the back of it, though. Mauri ora kia koe, te rangatira. Thanks again for sharing some kōrero.
Always good, Dale.
Thank you. Thanks, Peter. Peter Tīpene with us. He's been at